a theme in the last few months in Sunday school here that I've called a Midnight Bible Stories. And part of Midnight Bible Stories is Midnight Ponderings, like Kevin was just mentioning. And there's a lot of those in Scripture. Brother Sam back there on Tuesday night men's dinner, he says, you kind of got away from your Midnight Bible Stories. I says, well, not really. There's many Midnight Bible Stories without the word midnight in them. They're things that are recorded in Scripture that took place at midnight, in the midnight hour. We've talked about midnight, defined it as being literally between the hours of sunset and sunrise, so anything after that's in the middle of the night. Middle of the midnight would be midnight. And figuratively, it speaks of dark times that we have. We all have those midnight times, midnight hours. And we're left pondering things. And if you go to Matthew 2, that's where we're going to start today. We talked a couple, 3-4 weeks ago, perhaps, about the shepherds that came on the night of Jesus' birth and told Mary and Joseph some things that they had seen and witnessed that the angel of the Lord revealed to them. And it says in there, Mary pondered those things in her heart. But that wasn't the end of what she was pondering. In Matthew 2, we got in here last week, we find Jesus is 2 years old. The wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. These wise men, Scott's mentioned it in his class, no doubt, were from the Babylonian area. I guess I said that right. Area. They were told by Daniel some 600 years before, I think it was, of a coming Messiah and some of the things that you should look for. And they seen this star and they recognized that was their sign to them. And so they took a 2-year journey and came and inquired where was he that was born King of the Jews. Well, that was Herod they were asking this, and he thought he was the King of the Jews because that was his title, and then he didn't want a successor. So if you read the story there, you'll find that he had all the children killed from 2 years old and younger, so it was 2 years of time, the frame for him to get there, and that's how old Jesus was when they got to him. And when they found him, it says in Matthew 2:9. They came to where the young child was in verse 10, verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child, not a baby anymore, with his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Last time we finished this with noting that gold was a gift for a royal king. Frankincense was a gift for a priest. Myrrh was a gift for a prophet. And these symbolically show that these wise men knew that Jesus was special. Did they know that he was the King of Kings, as is noted in 1 Timothy 6:15? Did they know he was the great high priest spoken of in Hebrews 4:14? These things hadn't been written yet. Did they know that Jesus was the prophet of Nazareth, the Galilee, a fact that's recorded in Matthew 21:11? I think they did know this. I think they had had it revealed to them. They were indeed wise men, after all. And they had 2 years to change their mind and ceasing from following the star of the Lord, the star of the King of the Jews, and that Jesus just happens to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great high priest, and the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And they overcame all obstacles in their two-year pursuit until they did find him. When this all happened, what do you suppose Mary and Joseph did? I'm going to say they marveled and they pondered in their heart this exceptional display of the wise men from the East and their gifts. How could they not? It's one of those things that kind of leaves you with a jaw dropped, your mouth hanging open and going, wow, wow. Now, in our midnight Bible stories, we said there's midnight ponderings and there's some midnight dreams. And so we continue on here in Matthew 2 and verse 13. And we find that within this midnight Bible story, there are two more midnight Bible stories, two and one. And it says, after the wise men were departed, there in Matthew 2:13, it says, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now, there's really a lot of information in this verse, unless you've gone to a speed reading course and you just want to read a bunch of words, but we should really pause and think about what is being said here and what's being said between the lines and between the words. Remember in Matthew 1, the angel of the Lord had previously appeared unto Joseph and told him there it was okay to marry Mary. And he also told him in that dream, in Matthew 1, that the name of the child she was going to have was going to be Jesus. And now the angel of the Lord is telling Joseph to take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until what? I bring thee word. Now, this midnight revelation, why did I call it a midnight revelation? The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. When do you dream? It didn't say daydream. It was a dream. You dream at night when you sleep. And I don't think he had a night shift, so he was probably at night when he had this dream, a midnight time. And so it was a midnight revelation. And his instructions were to flee, as in 2 weeks from now. No. His instructions were to flee, as in right now. Well, think about it. How was such a trip to flee into Egypt to be financed by these poor parents that were raising Jesus? Well, they were just given, Jesus was just given gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, frankincense, I was noticing a note in my Bible. The word frankincense is found 17 times in Scripture. Those of you that are familiar with the number 17, what does it point to? Anything? I can't remember. I don't know. I lost my sheet of paper that tells me these things. I'll read it to you. But it's victory in Jesus Christ. It means something, right? Why did the Holy Spirit accidentally have frankincense written 15 or 17 times in Scripture? It's to point to something. There's victory in Jesus Christ. And we're going to run across number 17 again here this morning, Lord willing. So hold on to that thought for a few minutes. But there is victory in Jesus Christ. And so we find that Joseph's actions were quick and decisive. And it is told like this in Matthew 2:14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night. By night. What night? That night. And departed into Egypt, verse 15, and was there, it being in Egypt, until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the prophet of the Lord, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. If you want to read that prophecy, it's in Hosea 11:1. And Hosea 11:1 reads like this: when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Now, again, in Matthew 2:13, the angel of the Lord told Joseph in this midnight dream that they were to remain in Egypt until such a time until I bring the word. What do you think Joseph did with this statement? I'd say he pondered it in his heart and thought about it until the time came when he was once again told it was okay to return to Nazareth. And this event is recorded in Matthew 2:19 through 21. In another midnight dream that Joseph had, and it says in Matthew 2:19, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. They didn't flee this time. They took a little more time with this one. And so now we've read of three midnight dreams of Joseph where the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, given him specific instructions. All of these instructions Joseph followed. Was Joseph a man of faith? Obviously, yes. He was entrusted also with the privilege of raising Jesus, him and Mary, you know. There was also a fourth midnight dream told Joseph, and it's found in Matthew 2:22. And so we're going to look at Matthew 2:22 and 2:23 together, and they bring a conclusion to Joseph's midnight dreams. It says in Matthew 2:22, but when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. Nazareth, again, means the guarded one. 17 times in Scripture, we find the phrase, Jesus of Nazareth. Anybody remember what the number 17 is? Oh, you're getting better. Okay. So we have no doubt in reading the statement, Jesus of Nazareth, 17 times, that Jesus was from Nazareth, not from Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem, but he was raised and brought up in Nazareth. 17 is the number pointing to victory in Christ Jesus. And you can think of it like this. It's also the number of victory in Jesus of Nazareth. Okay? One of the 17 places where we find the statement Jesus of Nazareth is in John 19:19. There it says, and this is when Jesus was being crucified, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, in big letters, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now, we're going to go back to Luke 2. And Luke left out the details that we just read about in Matthew 2 of Jesus as a two-year-old. But in Luke 2, 39 and 40, we read this. And this is starting in Luke 2, 39 was in the days after Jesus was born, and when they'd taken him to the temple, and he'd seen Simon and Anna and everything. And it says in verse 39, and when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The grace of God was upon him. The grace of God is upon us too. And the phrase, the grace of God, is one of those statements that goes exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think. It's something we can ponder ourselves. You do a lot of ponderings in the midnights. Ponder the grace of God for a while. And I know Brother Hill pondered this thought, and he wrote, what a wonder, the grace of God. What a wonder. I mean, what a wonder. And the more we go on with the Lord, what more of a wonder the grace of God becomes. The phrase, the grace of God, is found 20 times in Scripture. 20 is the number of redemption. I'm not going to quiz you on all the numbers today because I'm going to give you the answers, okay? The 20 times that we find the grace of God, of those 20 times, 6 is in the writings by Luke and 14 verses by the Apostle Paul. But who did Luke hang out with? The Apostle Paul. What did they talk about? You think they talked about the grace of God? It was just something that flowed out. Eventually they wrote it down a bunch of times because it was a common word. Now, the 14 is a number for deliverance or salvation. It speaks of deliverance or salvation from sin. And the number 6, among other things, is the number for man. So salvation for man is what redemption, the forgiveness of sins, is all about. 1 Timothy 1:15, you don't need to turn there, I'll read it to you. It tells us this: this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Okay? And certainly the exceeding abundance of the grace of God was upon Jesus as he grew as a man there in Luke 2:40. And once we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, the exceeding abundance of the grace of God is upon us too. Is it not? Yes. The grace of God. Truly, what a wonder. And what a thought to forever appreciate and to ponder. And Mary and Joseph pondered in their heart these things. And as our apostle Paul also pondered in his heart the marvels of the grace of God, the Holy Ghost inspired him to write in Romans 5:17, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." So again, what a wonder for us to ponder in our own hearts the grace of God. And one, excuse me for a second. One main topic in the study of our midnight Bible stories, or our main topic is the events that here concerning Mary and Joseph in their midnight ponderings during his your early years of the things that have taken place with them. And we've also, as we've gone through this, considered many of the foreordained things that are recorded concerning baby Jesus. We've considered many things concerning the young child Jesus. And all these events with the shepherds and the wise men and the going to Egypt and coming back and all that gave them so many more things to ponder concerning Jesus. And we've noted in when we started this study that when the angel of Gabriel appeared to Mary in Luke 1:29 and saluted her, that she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She hadn't heard words like that. When Jesus was born and the shepherds came at a midnight hour and told Mary and Joseph what they had been told by the angel of the Lord about Jesus and what they'd witnessed, as a multitude of heavenly hosts also appeared unto them, giving them the highest praise concerning Jesus, we found in Luke 2:19 that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. In Luke 2:25 through 35, when the prophet Simon in the temple told Joseph and Mary things concerning Jesus, we read in Luke 2:33, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." And then a couple of years later, in Matthew 2, the wise men gave Joseph and Mary more things to ponder about concerning Jesus. And now, here in Luke 2:39 and 40, we find Jesus being raised in Nazareth, and no doubt, pretty much on a daily basis, Mary and Joseph pondered in their heart much as Jesus grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him, as we read in Luke 2:40. And they watched him grow, and they watched him do what he did, and they didn't have any problems with him, did they? You don't read of it. Then we come to another exclusive story that only Luke wrote about. And that was the time when Jesus was a 12-year-old. Now, somebody asked me, where did I find information that Luke interviewed Mary? How would he know what she pondered in her heart if he hadn't interviewed her? So he had to have interviewed her. So I don't know where you're going to find that written down anywhere. You heard it here, but not first, I don't think. But we don't read of Luke as a 12-year-old anywhere else in Scripture, only here in Luke 2. So Mary had to have told Luke about this. And as she told him, she was telling on herself.
Yes.
Now, is this a midnight Bible story? Well, maybe not, maybe so. But I can tell you one thing. Luke 2:41 through 52 has two midnights in it. And so there were some midnight things going on here. There were some ponderings going on that both Mary and Joseph had concerning Jesus. Now, before we get too far here into this portion, and we're not going to get through it today, if the Lord tarries, we'll finish it later, Lord willing. But by the time of Luke 2:41 through 52, there are some things that have happened with Mary and Joseph. Obviously, that's 12 years since Jesus was born. That's a lot of years since of Matthew 2. And we read in Matthew 13, 55 and 56. We also read in Mark 6:3 some facts that Luke leaves out. And these facts are that Jesus had four brothers and more than one sister. When were they born? We're not told. How old were they by the time of Luke 2? We're not told. Perhaps it's quite possible that all of them were born by the time of this story in Luke 2:41 through 52. Luke does not mention these little half-brothers and half-sisters of Jesus. Yet, these little siblings of Jesus demanded the full attention of Mary and Joseph. And perhaps that is where their focus was as we begin to fill in the gaps of what happened between our midnight Bible stories here, okay? In Luke 2:41 through 52, again, we read of Jesus as a 12-year-old. This is, again, another exclusive story of Luke. Luke 2:41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he, that is Jesus, was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him, Jesus, to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now imagine, and this was something that stuck out in Mary's mind as she told Luke about this. But imagine the emotions of Mary and also Joseph realizing that they had lost track of Jesus. We can make a lot of fun about it, but we're not going to do that. They didn't have such a thing as Amber Alerts back then. But what if they did? What would it have said? Lost a 12-year-old boy named Jesus, last seen in Jerusalem at the Feast of the Passover. He has no distinguishing appearance, no bling to attract attention to himself, if you will. He was last seen wearing common clothes. He also answers to the name of Emmanuel, Messiah, Christ, the Son of God, Savior. And that just begins to list the names If you see him, contact local authorities. They couldn't find him? They couldn't find him with an Amber Alert, could they? No. I know, but it's kind of weird. But that's what we would do this day and age. You know, wait a second. Who are we looking for here, you know? So, but we got to ask, how could this have happened? How could Mary and Joseph lose track of the most important person ever born in the world? And those of you from large families probably have had similar experience when growing up. Somewhere along the line, someone in the family got left behind. I think it happened in the Burge family. They got home and was missing one who was asleep back at church on the pew and didn't get collected in the, you know, rush. So it happens. So Mary and Joseph got caught up with the cares of this life, taking care of their younger children, perhaps even some babies there, all of whom demanded their attention. And in the process, they lost track of Mary's firstborn son, Jesus. He wasn't a problem, so they didn't pay that much attention to him. He's the most important person who ever came into this world, and Mary and Joseph lost track of him. They went a whole day's journey before they even noticed that Jesus wasn't with them. Do you realize our life is nothing without Jesus? And the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians 3:4, that it is Christ who is our life. How many days do we go? Have you gone? Didn't have Jesus in your life. You lost track of him. He was your Savior. Move on. You don't think about him. You lose track of him. You can't really point a finger at Mary and Joseph here. None of us. Maybe the cares of this life have overtaken you and brought you to the point where you lost track of Jesus in your own life at one time or another. Well, guess what? Mary and Joseph will soon find that Jesus didn't go anywhere. He wasn't the one who moved. They were the ones who moved. But they moved on without Jesus. How could this have happened? You know, Jesus doesn't demand our attention. And Jesus didn't demand the attention of Mary and Joseph either. He was never a problem for them. And if there was ever a perfect child, it would have been Jesus. And Mary only had one child who knew no sin, and it was Jesus. You find that he knew no sin in 2 Corinthians 5:21. But she lost track of him because of the cares of this life and not putting her firstborn Jesus in everything. And then Mary and Joseph also, they lost track of Jesus. And it kind of reminds you of the saints in Ephesus and Revelation 2:4 that had left their first love. You can see how easy that happened. Luke 2:46, and it came to pass, they had realized that they'd lost him, that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Now, hidden in this verse is 2 midnights. It took Mary and Joseph 3 days to relocate Jesus. In those 3 days, there was 2 midnights. Probably some midnights with little or no sleep, or at best broken sleep. And they had a lot of time to ponder and reflect and think about Jesus. Wow. God gave us his only begotten son, and we lost track of him. Shame on us. You know, that probably these thoughts went through their mind, and we'll get into that. There's some more things going on here. We'll talk about it. But we're not going to be hard on them, because let's think about ourselves. When was the last time you thought about Jesus? I guess you could ask yourself that question. Lord willing, we'll continue next time.